We have the other fellow from Loot Drop right now. I might mangle your last name, dude. I'm sorry. But it's Vince Scalabrino?
That's it, yeah.
Hey! Hey! Vince Scalabrino!
Okay, I need that. This is from 1984. It's a boombox, in case you've never seen one of these before. It plays audio tapes. I don't know if you've ever heard of those. They're pretty cool. Oh, and I should mention that I'm the other half of Chicago Loot Drop, and I'm in love with Mike Trout now. I'm a married man, and you know, but that was brilliant, dude. So good. Yeah, I mean, I've known you for two and a half years, and never would have expected that out of you, man. It was so good. Okay, so how was I going to start this? Something like this. Heavy metal. So my obsession with heavy metal began a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I was, I think it was like around midnight. I was like 15 years old. I'm sitting in the basement. I'm watching the boob tube. And this weird cartoon comes on. This chick's riding like an albino pterodactyl. And she's got like nothing on. Right? And I was like, what is this? And so I open the TV guide and I look and it says heavy metal. I'm like, well, I don't know what the hell is this heavy metal stuff. So I do a little research and I find out it's this movie that, like, at the time had never been released to video. So then it became even cooler to me because it was like, you know, couldn't have it. But I found it at a bootleg copy at the local video store and I watched it. And I became obsessed with it. I became obsessed with 80s metal. I'm still kind of obsessed with 80s metal. So flash forward 20 years, and I found out that Robert Rodriguez actually bought the rights to heavy metal, and he was going to make a new movie, which was so awesome. I was totally stoked about that. And then he said he was going to actually ask for help from the public, for people to actually like send him in their own little stories and sketches, and he would add these to the film, you know. And I was so excited. I was like, man, I gotta be a part of this. I gotta do something, you know. I gotta be a part of this new heavy metal. And at the time, work was a little slow, so I actually, I had no business doing it, but I wrote first a treatment, and then I actually wrote the first of 5 parts of a screenplay for an animated feature based on heavy metal. And I sent it to Robbie. He never got back to me, Eric. I guess, but I was a little bummed about that. But I don't really care. I thought when I heard about this month's theme, I thought I'd dust it off and I'd bring it out. So what you're gonna hear is a short excerpt from my ode to animated bouncing breasts and drunken robots, my freaky geeky fanfic fantasy, my animated opus, and I call it Transmission, a heavy metal redux in 5 parts. A couple of our fellow nerds here, Chris and Kevin, are going to help me bring it to life. So, gentlemen, if you please.
I just have a request that you read all of these stage directions because they're gold.
Yeah. Okay.
How old do you think I am?
Well, how old were you when you wrote this?
Oh, it was just 2 years ago.
All right.
But I still... That gives it no additional credence over something a 12-year-old wrote.
Yeah,
just
right.
For the record.
Yeah, right.
I'm putting that out there.
This is amazing.
Thank you. There's supposed to be, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to get the other tape. But there's supposed to be Imagine Accepts Living for Tonight playing right now, which has lots of guitar and like screaming dude. Elroy Berger, a skinny, bespectacled nerd in his mid to late 30s, sits in a server room surrounded by various computer parts. He jams to some serious metal as he bangs away on his keyboard.
That's me there with the ponytail. Elroy Clive Berger, senior IT specialist at Sell Your Soul, Inc., the biggest collections company in the city. You may think that you hate your job, but let me tell you, the folks I work with hate theirs more. With a passion and vigor that would put even the horniest of teenage boys to shame. And whenever they can, my coworkers direct their hatred squarely at me.
At the desk behind Elroy is Ned Oliver, an overweight, balding man with a mustache wearing a striped polo that looks far too small for him. Taking apart a laptop and extracting something from its interior, he continues to focus on his work as he curtly blurts,
"Elroy, did you close out that ticket for Bill with the email freeze?"
Elroy's jamming to his music and obviously ignoring Ned.
"Elroy, are you listening to me?"
He looks up and, seeing Elroy with his headphones on, he frowns and cuts loose a Fred Flintstone-like yell.
"Elroy!"
Ripping off his headphones, Elroy throws an evil stare in the direction of Ned.
"What do you need, sir?"
"I need you to start paying attention. If you can't show me some respect, I'm quite sure I can find someone else who can."
"Yes, sir, my apologies. I'm working on Bill's ticket right now. It looks like he has some spyware. I'll have it fixed soon."
Elroy is clearly upset, but he flashes a forced smile to Ned as he returns to his work. Ned harumphs loudly and walks to the now-whole laptop out the door, slamming it behind him.
"I swear, my boss has no penis." "And he makes up for his lacking by being the biggest dick imaginable. And as luck would have it, I seem to be the one getting the most intense dickings as of late. Hey, you can't fault a guy for wanting to blast some classic metal while he works, especially when he's surrounded by such incredible douchebags."
Elroy looks up for a second, puts his headphones back on and smiles, and the jams continue. A montage kicks in, flashing through more of Elroy's day, fixing printers, taking apart and reassembling numerous desktops and laptops, all the while getting pointed at and laughed at by his colleagues behind his back. The montage concludes with a computerized voice saying, "You've got mail."
"What's this?" "Ooh, nice. A new arcade cabinet for my collection. Let's see where it is."
I don't have to read that. Go ahead.
"Arcade games. I love them." "I'm not talking about those spastic, twitchy shoot-em-ups that all the kids are loving nowadays. No, I'm talking about the golden age of video games. These games didn't come on a CD, but on a printed circuit board inside a cabinet of 5/8 MDF with a 19th inch CRT monitor, isolation transformer, joysticks, spinners, trackballs, buttons, and the whole nine yards."
Cut up to a close-up of a control panel, an arcade control panel with a shiny ball-tap joystick.
"There's nothing else quite like the feel of a nice joystick in your hands." "Say what you will about those modern game console controllers. I'll take my ball-top, long-shaft, four-way any day." "When I was in high school, I saved up all my cash for my part-time job at Egghead Software and lawn mowing to get my first cabinet, a 1981 Galaga machine." Yeah.
Zoom out from the control panel, we reveal a Galaga cabinet.
"I got it for only $200 from a local arcade that was making way for some new games. They didn't have any appreciation for this classic shooter. Flash forward to today, and my basement is chock full of cabinets representing my faves from the golden age of video games. Robotron 2084, Joust, Space Invaders, Ms. Pac-Man, Rampage, Smash TV, Disc of Tron, you name it. I've got over 70 games in my basement arcade. They're finicky bastards, though, and keeping them running has earned me an honorary degree in electronics repair and software engineering. It just so happens with skills like that, you can earn a decent living in IT. That's assuming, of course, you don't mind working with a bunch of assholes. Even though my collection has nearly filled my basement, there are still a few rare cabs that I wouldn't mind finding some room for. So I've got these scripts I wrote that monitor the internet, trolling for potential new additions to my collection. Craigslist, various collectors forums, eBay, you name it. And that day, I thought my scripts had struck arcade gold. At least, it seemed that way at the time."
So we see Elroy on the phone walking out of his office.
"Hi, it's Elroy Berger. We traded email about your Star Scout. Be there in about an hour to check it out."
The voice on the other end of the phone is monotone and stilted. It has an accent and cadence that seems to indicate that English doesn't come easy to it.
"Yes, that will be just fine." Burger. We will leave the door open for you. Meet us in the back with the game. R.O.
Get into my car.
Oh, sorry, you get into your car, which is a vintage black and red 1979 El Camino.
At the time, I didn't think anything of this R.O. guy. It's a really strange accent. You know, he could have been some kind of shut-in. Hell, a lot of us arcade collectors tend to be, but then there was this fact that he referred to himself as only R.O., and in the royal plural to boot. Yeah, now that I think about it, that conversation really shouldn't have been my first clue that really should have been my first clue that something just wasn't right about this deal.
So we see Elroy getting out of his car in some industrial district in front of a nondescript warehouse.
Had I been paying attention to the clue so far, I probably would have thought twice about opening that door. Was that it? But as it was, I just barged right in and was pretty surprised by what I saw.
We see Elroy enter the warehouse and get a good look at the inside. It's full of all manner of random parts and junk. Strange sounds hum and buzz all around, accompanying blinking lights and vector monitors flashing arrays of wiggling dots and lines. Elroy carefully navigates the chaos and winds around to the back, and there, settled between two massive piles of junk, is a very dusty arcade cabinet. There's an envelope taped to the screen with the word Elroy written in block letters on it. He rips the envelope off the screen and opens it to reveal a note written in clinical block letter handwriting.
Mr. Burger, we had to run a quick errand. If you like the Star Scout game, and we hope that you do, please use the dolly to wheel the machine out through the dock door. It is yours for the taking. R.O.
So here I am, staring at this extremely rare game, Star Scout, a Brio Electronics prototype from 1982. I've never even heard of this game before today. And according to Killer List of Video Games, there aren't any of them left in the hands of collectors. This game was worth its weight in gold, and I was getting it for free! At this point, I really should have realized that I had just stepped into some seriously serious shit.